Morning, let's make a start. Welcome, it is great to see you this morning. A very warm welcome for your visitor here. Hope you feel at home. You are in the right place. You are in exactly the right place. For this is the day. We join with millions around the world who are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is the biggest day on our Easter, on our calendar, Christian calendar, over the year. This is the reason for the hope we have. This is Easter Sunday, so great to see you, and we're going to celebrate together. Okay, let's have a third thing on the everything to do with Easter table, and it is the stone. The stone. Not a stone. You might be wondering, what is this monstrosity? And you're right. Well done. You got it right. It is the stone, not the stone. It is a large stone right here that is in danger of collapsing in front of my eyes. It's sinking lower and lower. Where's Trevor when you need him? Sorry, sir. It might possibly be a similar size to the large stone that was used in front of Jesus' tomb. Just don't look side on and don't try lifting it up. Here's a few questions then. What has the tombstone to do with Easter? The answer is everything and kind of nothing. Everything to do with Easter. Here's a question. What was the stone's job? Children, anyone want to put a hand up? Yes, Edith. What was the job of the stone? Okay, great. Yeah, to block the cave Jesus was in. Yeah, so the tomb was a bit like, we've got a little picture there. Could have looked a bit like this. It was probably a doorway cut into a rock, okay? And you go in, and there's a place where you put the body. And then a big stone was rolled, a few people, into the front to block the door. So that was the stone's job, to block the entrance. Why did the stone have nothing to do? Why did he lose his job? Children. Katie? You're on the right lines, Katie. Nice one. Yeah, the stone lost its job because there was nobody in the tomb, was there? So everything to do with Easter and nothing. See, here's the thing. Like, Jesus was welcomed, okay, and then he was like warred upon to the cross. That was a big surprise. That was a big change, wasn't it? But even bigger surprise, Jesus rose from the dead. And let's hear what happened. So Jared, thanks. I was here. Jared's going to come and read to us a little bit from Mark's Gospel. You don't have to have it open. You can if you want. It's Mark 16. Jared's going to read 1 to 8. Let's listen carefully what happened on that Easter morning. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, this is the Gospel of Mark, one of the four. Each Gospel is a different account of similar events. And this is what Mark has written down. And the person, even though Mark wasn't one of the disciples, he's probably describing for Peter. So let's listen into what this account says. So when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. God bless his word.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jared, let's ask three questions. Okay, so why was the stone there? What happened to the stone? What does it mean? Okay, let's just think about these things. We've asked already a little bit why the stone was there. Because after Jesus died, he was put in a tomb, and a stone acted like a door, a very big, heavy door. It was rolled in front, sort of lifted with sticks, maybe big sticks, clunk, down it went into a space in front of the door. So that's why we heard the reading. The ladies were on their way to the tomb early Sunday morning to give Jesus a proper burial. But the question in their mind was, how are we going to roll the stone away? We're going to need some extra hands to do that. But when they got there, surprise, surprise, they looked and they saw the stone, which was very large, like the emphasis there in the Bible, had been rolled away. Okay, so that's what the stone's for, to, like a door. What about what happened? What has happened with this stone being rolled away? Well, did you hear the next thing that happened? Yeah, go on. Oh, that's in my script. Yes. Come into that in a minute. Listen out. Yeah, nice. Imagine that. Taking out Jerusalem, wouldn't it? Okay, listen carefully. It might have done. What happened to the stone? Okay. Well, actually, the next thing that happened, it tells us that the women went in to the tomb to see. Now, just put yourself in that position. You come into the tomb. Jesus has been put in there. It's open. It's like, oh, strange, scary, but you would just have to, wouldn't you? I don't know. You have to go and look. You can't just go, oh, I'm not going in there. Like dead bodies and stuff. And they did. They went in and looked to see if Jesus' body was there. Was Jesus' body there? No, universal shaking of heads. The tomb was empty. And you think, okay, how has this happened? How has this... first of all, how has this stone rolled away? It was massive. Okay, this stone's huge. I mean, it's like, you just can't move it. It's so big and heavy. Imagine how thick, and it would be like this, wouldn't it? Incredibly heavy. How would it happen? It would take a few strong people just to roll the stone away, wouldn't it? So, did the disciples do it? Mysterious music playing. Did the disciples sneak out at night time and roll the stone down the hill? And then steal Jesus' dead body and hide it somewhere? Well, that's a good question. Thanks for asking. It would have been tricky. And here's why. There's a few reasons. Matthew, in his gospel, we haven't read this bit, says that there was a Roman guard set up around the tomb. So that is up to 16 Roman soldiers, okay? So first, the disciples have had to, like, beat them up, wouldn't they? Or do something to get rid of them. And if they then did that, then sort of, why are they coming back in the morning? Yeah, it's the ladies in a minute, but they're going to turn up soon. That would be a bit strange, wouldn't it? To do that in the night, then turn up. But, you detectives out there, you're thinking, to pretend, of course. You do it, and you turn up, all innocent. Oh, what's happened? But more soldiers would have been called. I would have noses bleeding. Oh, they are the ones that did. It would have been problematic, wouldn't it? They'd have been identified. Did the disciples roll the stone away to make it look like Jesus rose from the dead? Well, the Bible actually tells us, no, they didn't. It tells us they were locked away in a room. They were scared. They were barely brave enough to go out of the house, let alone kind of bundle some professional soldiers and steal Jesus' body. Also, another thing that's slightly problematic is that there was a seal on the tomb. Careful, not the aquatic animal. You know, not a sea lion, okay? But it was a Roman seal. Okay? So it was like a police line, kind of do not cross type thing. I don't have a police line. My hazard tape on toilet roll will do. Okay, so there was that's not going to work. This might work. There was something like this going on, okay, around the tomb. Set that drop, put that there. It's all good. Okay. So there was this staff across the tomb sealed, and that basically said, okay, well, this isn't physically going to stop them, obviously. You just go up and that, clang, off it comes. That'd be easy physically to do. But that seal was put there by the Roman governor, and it meant something. Touch it, move it, and you could actually die. So you'd stay away. So, who moved the big stone? And why was the guard, Roman soldiers, why had they gone? Children, who is scary enough to get 16 Roman soldiers, let's think big, tough guys, spears and swords, who is scary enough to get them running away? Any thoughts? Edith, firsthand. Angels. Every time in the Bible an angel turns up, the response is fear, isn't it? And we read, you heard it as well, that it was an angel. So let's have a little picture. There we go. Matthew tells us that an angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away. And that's what happened. The question, last question, what does it mean? What does it mean? Now, in the questions, I'm asking a lot of questions, throwing a few things out. We're in potential danger of missing the big thing. The stone was rolled away, not to reveal a body, but of course to reveal nobody. It was an empty tomb, which reveals great things about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus is firstly who he said he was, that he's been successful in what he came to do, that is to pay for sins, and because the greatest revelation came from the young man. It was in the reading, dressed in white. It's an angel. And this angel said, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He is risen. Jesus was dead, but now he's alive. He was put in a tomb. He was cold and dead. Now he's alive. He's out and he's well. The wonder, the glory of Easter, the good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. So if you go today, I don't suggest today, you probably missed the flight, but if you go sometime to see the place where they buried Jesus, they don't actually know which one it was, they got a rough idea which tomb it could be, you won't see his body in there. They never found his body. There's no place marked where his body is. You can go to the grave of other religious leaders and you'll find their bodies there. There's places you can do that, but not Jesus. Because Easter isn't really about all asking questions, you know, who did what happened, all the rest of it. Easter actually is a declaration of victory. That's what Easter is. Jesus is risen. That's the message. And that means there's a Savior. It means God himself has come down to offer himself for forgiveness of sin. He's come to pay for sin. He's come to beat death. He has come to call people to join him in that victory. That is a victory. Okay, to beat sin and beat death, that's a massive victory. And he's come to call people. So we can end with another question. Here's a last question. Actually, it's not quite a last question. Here's a question. What about you? Are you going to welcome Jesus? Are you personally, not a person next to you, person over the aisle, are you going to welcome Jesus in your life? Are you going to truly celebrate Easter by putting your life into Jesus' hands? And actually, that's not the only question. The question is, will Jesus welcome you? Like, that's a serious thought. When we die, sorry, we are going to, it's inevitability, he comes back, it says in the Bible he's coming back, might be we die before he comes back, he might be coming back before we die, will he welcome us? That's a big thing each of us need to answer. And that's the big surprise many are going to have. Because they're going to stand before him. And they're going to stand face to face. And do you know the great news? Jesus is going to gather to himself all those who have put their trust in him, who have sought forgiveness. He's going to save them and take them to heaven. Do you know how to celebrate Easter properly? Is it going on in your heart? It might be in your head, you understand. Is it going on in here as well? You're worshipping the risen Savior Jesus. You're trusting your life and your death, my life and my death, because of his life and his death. That is what Easter's about.